The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to the Todd Starnes Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is the Todd Starnes Show, and I am Jamie Allman, privileged to be filling in for my friend Todd, who happens to be in Houston right now, or at least coming back in transit. A wonderful night last night with Patriot Talk 920 AM, and it was all about Todd Starnes and his amazing official launch party for his book, and man, it was a great turnout. And so that's what it's all about. So I'm Jamie Allman filling in from beautiful St. Louis, Missouri for you. So this is where it's all going to stand, folks. The worst themed demonstration in perhaps the history of the United States of America. The Hitler Youth finally meeting its match, this time in the latest from UCLA. And this is where pro-Israel counter-protests stormed the encampment and started tearing down barricades. It was a feel-good video of the day. Taking the barricades down. These are pro-Israel students. They were lighting fireworks. The dawn's early light came a little early for the Hitler Youth at UCLA. And there was actually the appearance of American flags, which was even more amazing. I mean, you've got a group of people, and there are very few people who actually like them, except, of course, the collective Satan's tongue known as the mainstream media. They're the only ones who seem remotely friendly to these people who are outwardly calling for the deaths of Jews, calling for the Intifada. I mean, these guys are so bad that Black Lives Matter's like, man, you guys are pretty bad people. I mean, this Antifa is even like, oh, wow, this is worse than we've ever done. So gradually, slowly but surely, if it's not the pro-Israel demonstrators who were getting in the faces of these horrible people, it's the police, too. There's not enough being done, obviously, at Columbia, but you have seen right here in St. Louis as well as in Austin, Texas. Austin's a pretty liberal place in Texas, but you can't take the Texas out of Texas no matter how many infiltrators come in and try to water that Texas spirit down. And so they were hauling these idiots away like a bunch of calf off to the slaughter. And I got to tell you, what's crazy about all this is these people will probably be out of jail sooner than a January 6th protester will, sooner, in fact, than a pro-life demonstrator will, who currently now is sitting in jail. I'm going to bring you that story throughout this afternoon. In the meantime, there are suspensions of faculty who are, in many cases, largely responsible for what's going on, and expulsions of students. I'm not quite sure how long that's really going to go. I believe a lot of it is window dressing, and they're presenting this idea that something actually is going to happen to these kids. But at the same time, in my belief, by the time the dust settles, if it ever does, because there's going to be a dust up. If you think this UCLA civil war is something, just wait until the Democratic National Convention. So what can be done at the university level? Can we actually defund some of these public universities? Possibly. We'll talk to Pennsylvania Congressman Scott Perry straight ahead on the Todd Starnes Show, and what is going on with the House Speaker Mike Johnson. This is the Todd Starnes Show, and I'm Jamie Allman, privileged to be in for him. We shall return.
Legacy Precious Metals has a revolutionary new online platform that allows you to invest in real gold and silver online. Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and in just a few easy steps, you can open an account online, select your metals of choice, and choose to have them stored in a vault or shipped to your door. You'll have access to a dashboard where you can track your portfolio growth in real time, anytime. And you'll see transparent pricing on every coin and bar. This puts you in complete control of your money. The platform is free to sign up for. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com and open your account and see this new investing platform for yourself. Gold hedges against inflation and against a volatile stock market. A true diversified portfolio isn't just more stocks and bonds, but different asset classes. And this new platform allows you to make investments in gold and silver, no matter how small or large, with a few clicks. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com to get started. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com. Or call 866-649-0304. That number again, 866-649-0304, and start investing today.
Hello, everyone. This is the Todd Starnes Show, and I'm Jamie Ullman, honored to be filling in for Todd Starnes, who's on his way back from beautiful Houston. I'll give you details about what he's been up to there in just a few. I have to tell you that I am so grateful to God for motion pictures and video, because no matter what the media does in terms of all of its lies to try to describe what we're seeing on college campuses, we're actually watching the video while they're lying to us.
From how it has been for the past several hours.
It's called an escalation here.
Rally and silent vigil for Palestine.
This is in North Carolina. And right as she's saying silent vigil, these people are all screaming for the infantada. It's like, yeah, you know what? Sometimes these people can lie all they want, but the videos and pictures tell completely a different story. And the media just happens to be the only friend of the Hitler Youth movement in this country right now, because they are slowly but surely losing any level of attractiveness they might have ever had for anybody. And heaven forbid they had any kind of level of attractiveness. Hey, Pennsylvania Congressman Scott Perry is one of our legislative heroes up there in Washington, D.C., a member of the Freedom Caucus and an all-around great guy. Congressman Perry, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm well, Jamie. I mean, you know, I'm doing as well as it can be in Washington, but of course we're watching our own country and portions of it now apparently look like the Middle East. And, you know, I know they like to characterize it. The media wants us to characterize this as the pro-Palestine or pro-Palestinian movement. Let's be clear here. Let's just set the benchmark. There's no such place as Palestine. Number one, this is the anti-Semitic rally. This is the pro Hamas terrorism rally. And I could go further, but I'll just stop at that. But if this is allowed to continue, we've seen its eventual end in past history, which is horrific. And of course we have an announcement as of yesterday, and keep in mind that the vast majority of people in Gaza support Hamas, support Islamic Jihad, and support Hamas's actions on October 7th. That's important to know that by polling over and over again, as reported by local reporting in Gaza. And these are the very same people that the Biden administration is now discussed bringing to your community. Wouldn't that be great?
Congressman Scott Perry of Pennsylvania. Yes, indeed it is. It's the Middle East meeting 1930s Germany. And who would have possibly thought in any way, shape, or form that the mass murder, rape, beheading of babies on October 7th could suddenly turn into these people being victims and Gaza being victims? And you're so right about Palestine. There is no such place. They might as well be saying free the land of the Keebler elves, because it just doesn't exist. And really, I'm wondering, from a legislative point of view, you talk about these public universities, and you're looking at not only these faculties supported by our tax dollars, but also the administration. Is there anything that can be done to bring these universities to heel and understand that they are actually at, in many cases, the taxpayers' whim. It's not only about donors. It's about our money that is actually funding and laying the groundwork for some of this stuff that we see.
Well, I think it's a great question, and I don't know if it's really about bringing them to heel, so to speak, or to our whim. But the point is that if they want to have this kind of destructive behavior on their private campuses, this is America. The First Amendment reigns true no matter how disrespectful the speech is. I think they ought to be allowed to do it, and they ought to have their donors and their subscribers and their tuition payers pay for it. Here's what I don't think. I don't think the taxpayers should be paying a dime for it. And whether that makes a difference or not, is yet to be seen. But I'm for taking every single bit of taxpayer money from these folks, these institutions, and then let them survive on their own wits. And if their own wits, including calling for the mass murder of Jews, well, then I guess we know who they are and who supports them and where they can be found. And that will make us all safer because we can just avoid that area. But I don't think the taxpayers should be paying a dime for any of this.
Yeah, and especially when it comes to really threatening. I mean, this is a real-life situation. This is more just about words because they are, in fact, threatening Jewish students on these campuses. If it were anybody but Jewish students, there would be hell to pay for most of these people. But instead, it's looked upon as just kind of a boutique type of protest and demonstration and exercising of free speech by yelling for the mass deaths of Jews. And that's just not the case.
It's exactly right. I can't imagine I'm not Jewish, but I can't imagine being Jewish in America, in the world, let alone on one of these campuses, trying to complete my coursework and be a responsible citizen. That having been said, let's also talk about what they're calling for. Remember, Israel was attacked by terrorists on October 7th. 1,000 people, better than 1,000 Jewish people were mass murdered, atrocities, still in captivity as hostages within this terrorist organization's clutches. And the demand is that Israel, the country that was attacked, is supposed to stand down, lay down their arms and leave themselves defenseless. That's the request. And by the way, Israel, for some reason, they're engaging in these talks over a ceasefire where they would lay down their arms and where Hamas and their enemies would be able to, as a military guy, look, that's what the enemy does. It regroups, it refits, it repositions, it re-prepares for the next attack or the next defense. But Israel's been willing to have the discussion. It is Hamas that's unwilling to do any of these things to have the ceasefire. And yet, and even more absurdly so, this is a war where Israel's been attacked, and Israel's being pressured by Joe Biden and his administration to help the people that attacked them. Can you imagine after Pearl Harbor, if there was this hue and cry on American campuses, you know what? Let's send some help to Japan for attacking us.
Right.
Let's send some help to Israel for being in the war against all our allies and eventually us. Who would be for that? Yet somehow the left has seen this as some kind of reasonable position, and the mainstream media is backing them up on it.
No doubt about it. And the mainstream media, they're the only friends, it seems, of these Hitler Youthians. I mean, even Black Lives Matter, as I said earlier, is like, it's like, wow, you people are pretty bad people. It's pretty crazy. Anyway, Congressman Scott Perry, I wanted to ask you about what's happening there in Washington, D.C., especially as it relates to Speaker Mike Johnson. I wanted to clear something up because one of the things that's really confusing to me is that we know how President Trump feels about aid to Ukraine. We know how he feels about these gigantic omnibus spending bills and beyond. We know how he feels about, obviously, funding the defense of Israel, which I think is something he agrees with. Mike Johnson goes down to Mar-a-Lago, meets with President Trump, and then suddenly he comes back, and this Ukrainian funding bill goes right through. And I can't figure out the machinations of what that relationship must have been like down there And what President Trump must have said to Mike Johnson, or Mike Johnson said to President Trump, that made this actually happen, when I thought Trump was going to be able to kind of intervene a little bit and change the outcome, but it didn't happen. Do you have any ideas about what might have transpired down there?
I really can't characterize any of the conversation. I wasn't in the room, and you know, anything I would offer would be hearsay. I know President Trump's position, and of course, I know the Speaker's position. Let me just say this. That bill could have been stopped at the behest of one person here, and that is the Speaker of the House. There was no reason that we had to bring that bill to the floor. There was no reason that it had to be brought in the fashion that it was. And as a Republican, as a supporter of Israel, I'm upset, I'm irritated, I'm angry at the fact that I was put in a position of having to vote where I would be supporting Israel, who's under attack, who's at war with the jihadists that want to exterminate the Jewish race, while at the same time, with the very same vote, have to support Hamas with aid to Gaza that would go through Hamas. And that was put in the bill by the Democrats. It was their reason for voting for the bill, so that they could say, look, we support Israel, but we also support these people that in so-called Palestine, known as Hamas. Now, they weren't going to characterize them as terrorists, but that's what they are, and that's $9 billion. All that could have been stopped. All of that should have been stopped. We should be supporting Israel. We should be paying for it. We should not be supporting the terrorists, and we should not be put in a position by our leadership where that's the only option. I think that the president has other things on his mind, and he can't run Congress. He's trying to right the ship and keep his campaign on track while being assaulted in an unprecedented way by the weaponization of the federal government and the courts and the prosecution. And I suspect, I don't know, but I suspect that the Speaker went down to inform him, this is what's going to happen. This is the way the bill's crafted. This is what's moving forward for whatever reason. Probably, you know, like I said, I don't really want to characterize the conversation, yeah. But I'm well aware of the president's position, and of course, I'm now well aware of the Speaker's position. I'd like to associate myself with the president's position.
Absolutely, and I think it was rather rude of Mike Johnson really to take advantage of the fact that President Trump was so occupied. And talk about rude, cynical, passive-aggressive, and manipulative, tying Israeli aid to this Ukrainian boondoggle, this support of all of these campaign-donating masters is really not a good look. And it certainly wasn't a good look for the Democrats to do it, and for Republicans to go along with it.
Yeah, we all want to be supportive of Israel. When I say we all, I'm speaking for Republicans. There's not a one that I know that doesn't support Israel. Unfortunately, on the other side of the aisle, we have seen unprecedented anti-Semitism. No one wants to talk about that. But they're the ones that put that in the bill, that support for Gaza and Hamas. It was the Democrats that wanted that in there. That was the reason that they voted for it. And the other thing is this is being characterized often as a border security bill. And literally, as soon as we get done voting for it, I was asked by reporters why I voted against the border security bill. These are the things that people that are working hard to pay their bills every day and you know, make sure that they put a dinner on the table don't have time to figure out and know about. But I'm here to tell you there was not one shred of border security in this bill, and that there was aid, $9 billion going to Gaza through Hamas in the Israeli portion of the bill. And that's why members voted against it, not because we're against Israel, and certainly not because we don't want to secure our own borders, but because of the way the bill was crafted, there was nothing to support the border. And while we set support to Israel, we also set support to their enemy. And I don't think we should be on both sides of that war. I think we should stand firmly with Israel and against the terrorists and firmly for our border. That's where we should be. And anything less than that is irresponsible.
Yeah, there's no question about that. Congressman Scott Perry of Pennsylvania with the Freedom Caucus, thank you for all that you were doing. And just one quick question for you then. So what becomes of Mike Johnson's speakership in your mind? What's going to happen, do you think?
Well, I know there was a press conference today, and a couple members had I guess, said that they're going to drop, as we call it. They're going to issue the motion to vacate. There will likely be a vote, a procedural vote, on whether that even moves forward. Here's my concern. Hakeem Jeffries, the leader of the Democrats, put out a letter yesterday saying that they would support Speaker Johnson if that were to happen. I just got to tell you, I'm fully aware of and used to Democrats being hypocrites and lying on every single turn, on every single thing. And I don't really want to be a part of anything where we would put our future in the hands of Democrats. And I smell a rat here. It would only take one or two members, greedy members on the Republican side, to make a deal with Democrats to make Hakeem Jeffries the speaker. And let's remind ourselves, that's ultimately their goal. That's what they want, is to take over the House. They don't want a Speaker Johnson when they can have a Speaker Jeffries. And so I'm very concerned about the direction of this. And it might be cute, too cute by half, but we got to make sure that no matter what we do, there can never be a Speaker Hakeem Jeffries in charge of the House of Representatives.
All right. Congressman Scott Perry of Pennsylvania, thank you so much. Appreciate your patriotism and your hard work with the Freedom Caucus there in D.C. And we'll talk to you soon. Thank you for your time today.
Well, thank you so much. And thank you for your audience and your great work. God bless you.
All right, God bless you, too. That is Congressman Scott Perry from the great state of Pennsylvania. All right, folks, this is the Todd Starn Show. I'm Jamie Allman, privileged to be filling in for him. And coming up, check this out. President Trump taking advantage of unsealed documents that prove Biden was involved in his prosecution in this sham trial up there in New York. I'll have that for you straight ahead. This is The Todd Starn Show.
You might have heard Mike Lindell of MyPillow no longer have the support of their box stores or shopping channels the way they used to. They've been part of the cancel culture, so they want to pass the savings directly to you by having a $25 extravaganza. When Mike started MyPillow, it was just a one-product company. With the help of his dedicated employees, they now have hundreds of products, some you may not even know about. To get the word out, I want to invite my listeners to check out their $25 extravaganza. Two-pack multi-use MyPillows, just $25. MyPillow sandals, $25. Their six-pack towel sets, $25. Brand-new four-pack dish towels, you guessed it, just $25. And for the first time ever, the premium MyPillows with all-new Giza fabric, just $25. Orders over $75 will receive free shipping, too. This amazing offer won't last long, so go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code STARNS or call 1-800-839-8506 today. That's promo code STARNS.
Good day to all of you. A little Led Zeppelin there on the Todd Starn Show. I love it. Jamie Allman here, really happy to be filling in for Todd Starnes, who's on his way back from beautiful Houston, Texas. And man, was it a time there, as this amazing station, Patriot Talk 920 in Houston, launched. It is amazing, and Todd Starnes was the keynote speaker for that. And so he is on his way back. He was down there at Houston Christian University as well. As promote his book, Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? That book is rocking it, and really happy for Todd Starnes, and yet another great book from Todd. All right, yet another great after-court rally from President Trump. I don't like the fact that he has to be tethered to this chair there in court and not doing rallies, but I'll take the 3 minutes he takes every time he leaves court, which is great. And this time he revealed that there are some unsealed records in Jack Smith's classified document case against Trump that actually revealed that Biden's White House and the DOJ were coordinating with the National Archives. This was released yesterday after court.
Never been brought. Every single major legal scholar, Jonathan Turley, Greg Jarrett, Andy McCarthy, Dershowitz, every single scholar, Mark Levin, the great Mark Levin,
had a whole show on it last night, said that this is a disgraceful case. It's a disgrace to the New York state and city court system. And all of the cases are, frankly, all of them are. You probably saw last night that Jack Smith got caught with his hand in the cookie jar. It was released late last night, and it's a big story. The documents case is a hoax created by them for election interference purposes.
And he's revealing that the documents reveal that the head of the archives, the general counsel, actually, the lawyer for the archives, was at the Biden White House and met with Biden's White House lawyer the day before Jack Smith indicted Donald J. Trump. All right, coming up, one of the greatest and most godliest school superintendents in the United States of America. You're going to meet him on the other side here. This is the Todd Starn Show. I'm Jamie Ullman, truly happy to be filling in for my friend.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome to the Todd Starnes Show. I am Jamie Ullman, honored to be filling in for my friend Todd Starnes, who is on his way back from gorgeous Houston, Texas, where he was the keynote speaker for the launch of a beautiful radio station known as Patriot Talk 920 AM. So Todd is on his way back and will be right here in just a few, probably by tomorrow, of course. And don't forget about his book, Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? And it is really just rocking off the bookshelves, so to speak, and at Amazon and beyond. Before I get to the esteemed next guest, I have to tell you that there are two really great pieces of video running around out there. And one is the feel-good video of the last 12 hours or so, and that is pro-Israel demonstrators basically knocking down an encampment of the Hitler Youth there at UCLA. It was fantastic. It was amazing. It was beautiful. Those fireworks are the dawn's early light coming early for the Hitler Youth there. And these folks were also carrying American flags, the pro-Israeli demonstrators, which is really nice. And the other video out there, and I'll deal with this a little bit later on at a higher level, and that is video of a famous pastor's grandson who joined with a buddy of his to stare down this Hitler Youth mob there at Columbia University. They were trying to keep them from getting in to Hamilton Hall. And Pastor N.D. Wilson, whose son and his friend held the door against an angry mob, he's also the son of a famous pastor. And these kids, the pro-Israel demonstrators at UCLA, and these two boys who were holding up the door there against the Hitler Youth at Columbia were raised right. I don't know how it happened, because this educational system is pooping out Hitler Youth and people who don't appreciate the United States of America in droves. And Some could say that these demonstrations in Colombia and beyond are just what the educational system asked for. The monsters the educational system created are now eating their masters, just like Frankenstein. One of the guys who was really doing such great work, you heard about him earlier, actually, because Todd was talking about him. His name is Todd Walters, Ryan Walters, and he is the Oklahoma State School Superintendent. Such a great guy. I've talked to him before, and I'm really pleased to have Ryan Walters back on the radio. Mr. Walters, how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great. Like you said it very well. I mean, you know what? It's funny. We always see this. We saw it in Russia. It's, you know, the Stalinists and all the Leninists, all the different groups, right? They end up eating their own, don't they? I mean, you saw it in the French Revolution, right? It's never enough, and this is exactly where this type of rotten ideology leads to. And college campuses have fomented this. They have pushed for this. They have turned into the most anti-American, anti-Israeli, anti-Christian institutions in the country. And this is exactly the cesspool that they created.
And you have pointed out, Ryan Walters, that America's K through 12 government schools are replete with anti-Israel hatred and propaganda. And what form does it take? Does it take the form of just simply ignoring history, or does it take the form of true propaganda? Like, what's going on in the K through 12 teaching system?
Thank you for that question. It is both of those things. Number one, what you see is a clear attempt to take parts of history out. You know, they start history at certain times, they only show part of it, which is why you've seen our kids go from believing, you know, you read, you know, I'm a history teacher, and you know, you go from one of the things I love to read with our kids are the letters from the soldiers in World War II. Hey, they knew what they were fighting for. You know, they fought for the principles and foundation of values of this country to continue, and they were willing to put their lives down for it. Well, it's because they were educated in American history. They understood the founding. They understood what America was about. Fast forward to today, so many of our kids hate this country because what are they told? They are told that America is an evil, racist place to its core. They take out, they gut the founding era. They cherry pick only certain things. They only want you to know that George Washington was a slave owner. They don't want you to know about the great things that George Washington did to free us from British rule. They only want you to know that Thomas Jefferson was a slave owner. They don't want you to know that Thomas Jefferson wrote the Declaration of Independence. So you have that part of it. But then number two, they completely lie about our history, and they lie about the history of the Jewish state. We find this in textbooks. We find this in curriculum. The 1619 Project is a great example. It's just not true. That is absolutely not what happened. That is not the foundation of the country. And so what ends up happening is somehow in their warped critical race theory mindset, the Jewish people, who have been some of the most oppressed and attacked people in the history of the world, they somehow are actually the oppressors and the bad guy in their warped view of history that's been taught to them.
As if somehow they deserve it. I think that's a running commentary in the critical race theory, is that there's a certain group and flavor of people that are always going to be perpetrators, and there's a certain group and flavor of people that will always be victims, and the narration doesn't change even when the so-called victims are beheading, raping, and murdering the so-called perpetrators. It's pretty unbelievable.
I mean, wokeism, it's a mind virus. It truly rots your brain from any kind of common sense and logic. You're sitting here and you're watching the heinous, sick, evil attacks from Hamas on Israelis, on the Jewish people. And then you have folks out defending these groups, out still. I mean, you want to talk about, you know, no matter what the facts are, no matter what you see, you're just not going to be open to it. You're just so indoctrinated. I mean, how else do you explain people watching young people being gunned down, people being killed for being Jewish, and having people justify it, number one, and then number two, try to claim they had it coming? They're the oppressors, so this is warranted. It is sick, and I'm telling you, these college institutions, these professors should be fired. The students that are doing this should be kicked out of campus. They should be arrested. They should be removed. If they're foreign nationals, they should be sent back home. We have to rid our college campuses of this anti-Americanism, anti-Jewish, anti-Christian, encampment that's going on.
Yeah, there's no question about that. And I will tell you, one of the great tells here, Ryan Walters, is when They are chanting Free Palestine. And it just goes to show you, most of them don't even realize that there is no such thing as Palestine. So they might as well be out there calling for, you know, free the land of the Keebler Elves, because there's no such thing. And how kids can go through an entire educational system and not realize and not be told or not learn that there is no such thing as Palestine is beyond me. But proof.
Well, and that, and like you said, this is, it's very intentional. And this is where you see the left. You know, look, I'll give the left credit. They have been very effective at brainwashing the next generation. They have been very effective at lying to them and completely gaslighting them to somehow believe we're the bad guys, somehow believe that the Jewish people are the bad guys, when even the most cursory view of history would point you in the complete opposite direction. In Oklahoma, look, we don't allow this in schools. We're not going to allow indoctrination K-12 or higher ed. We're fighting it. And we're going to make sure that our kids, you know, it's so important, first of all, that our kids know our nation's history and know our values. But I'm going to tell you what I think is even more important, or just as important. They got to believe it. Our kids have to believe in our values as a country. It's the only way we get this country back on track, is that our kids go, no, it is essential that we understand our rights came from God. It's essential that we understand that Judeo-Christianity played a huge role in the future of this country. It's essential that we protect these individual liberties and these freedoms, or we will no longer cease to be a great country. It is essential that our young people believe in those values.
Yes, there's no question about it. Ryan Walters is the state superintendent of schools in Oklahoma and really has done such a great job. How do you, for example, in Oklahoma, monitor or keep an eye on or keep control of what is actually happening in K-12 regarding propaganda and anti-Israel sentiment and those kinds of things, and mixing up history? How are you able to track that or keep an eye on it?
Awesome and fantastic question. So one of the things we set up immediately was we have a website, and we have the ability for parents and teachers to submit to us reports where they can screenshot, they can video record, and send us information that then we go in and investigate. And I want to tell you, again, in a red state, hey, we've got a lot of good conservative teachers that are saying, hey, our administrators are telling us to do this. Here's a screenshot of the email. Here's this and that. So we've got good conservative teachers who have helped us fight back against the teachers union, woke administrators. And, of course, hey, the best is parents. I mean, my goodness, our parents go into libraries. Our parents have been going into the curriculum, sending us screenshots of books, sending us screenshots of textbooks, and being able to give us some material. And then here, I'm going to tell you, though, this is the key. There has to be accountability. And one of the things that we've done that no other state's doing right now, we have the laws on the book and we enforce them. What do I mean we enforce them? If you're a teacher that's pushing critical race theory on kids or gender theory on kids, we take your teacher's license. You're not going to teach here. We want good teachers. We know there's incredible people who are teachers in the state. We're recruiting teachers from all over the country. We want great teachers. But if you're going to indoctrinate kids, go somewhere else. You're not going to teach our kids. Number two, if districts push indoctrination, we have told districts, we won't accredit you any longer. You won't be a public school. So you get this stuff straightened out. We had two districts who we moved their accreditation down to a downgrade and said, y'all better clean this stuff up, or you're not going to be a public school anymore. We're not going to tolerate leftists taking over our institutions and indoctrinating our kids.
No doubt about it. And I guess a lot of people might be listening and saying, hey, how did Oklahoma get a superintendent like that? Well, folks, the superintendent in Oklahoma is an elected position. That means people have to fight for the job. They're not just some buddy of a governor or a buddy of a senator or a buddy of this or a buddy of that, or an entrenched kind of bureaucrat in the educational system. And I don't know how many states actually do elect their superintendents, but I believe that that's a huge factor in gaining control over the education of people's kids.
I completely agree. We're one of 11 other states do it, so there's 12 states that do it. And I would tell you, that's what's so important here. I am responding to parents. Parents, I don't answer to anybody except for God and the voters of the state of Oklahoma. Parents were crystal clear with me. Get our school kids, our education system back on track. We don't want indoctrination. We want to focus on the basics. We want more choice. We want more parents' rights. And we are moving at lightning speed to get that done. I think it's so crucial. You know, you hear this all the time. I've even had some of my fellow Republicans attack me because, Ryan, can't you just slow down a little bit? You know, can't you just, you know, you keep moving. And I go, guys, I guess I missed the memo that when you get elected, you're not supposed to actually fulfill your campaign promises because you want to run for reelect. I'm not going to do that. I told them, guys, when I look voters in the face and said, I will give you parents more rights than any other state, we're going to get our schools back under control, we're going to make sure that we're focusing on the basics, and we're not going to allow the federal government to dictate crazy gender ideology on the states. I meant it, and we are running at lightning speed to fulfill those promises to the parents of the state of Oklahoma, and I fully encourage all states, move. Get these institutions back from the leftists. Don't stand still. Be aggressive. Conservative values will equate to better educational outcomes. I'll give you one other. We had a record number, 117 schools come off the F list this year, three times more than ever in Oklahoma history. Why? Because we're getting indoctrination out. We're doing merit pay for our teachers. The good ones get paid more. And we got school choice universal. You find the school that best suits you, and guess what? Schools respond. You've got to bring the free market to your schools and your states.
Ryan Walters, Oklahoma State Superintendent of Schools, and one of the other benefits of you having only an allegiance to God, to families, to the state, to education, and to the parents, and to our country, and not to the NEA, is that you were able to direct all districts not to comply with Biden's Title IX overhaul. You could say, you're not doing it. That's what's going to be happening. I'm a superintendent. And that's glorious.
Yes, sir. Yeah, we sent out a legal memo to schools, and we announced you will not comply with Joe Biden's Title IX rewrite. You will not comply with a president that is acting like a dictator and determining to push the most radical agenda on our schools, on our parents, on our families that we've ever seen. So we're not going to comply. And I've dared Joe Biden, hey, come down here and try to make me. We're not going to do it. We are not going to check our common sense and our values at the door for some radical president. We are absolutely not. You know, they do this argument about, well, what if we jerk federal funding from you? Hey, look, our kids aren't for sale here. We're not doing the 30 pieces of silver to give away the souls and the future of our kids. So he can come down here and try to make us, and it's not going to happen. And this is what we've got to get back to. Look, the 10th Amendment, the reason why we reserve powers to the states and the reason why education was never mentioned as a federal delegated power, it's because the federal government has no business in education. There should not be a federal Department of Education. Donald Trump has promised to do away with it. I couldn't agree with him more. It's why we got to get him back in the White House. But there shouldn't be a federal Department of Education that can sit here and try to dictate the most radical agenda on your kids, force it on families, force it on students. We will not comply with Joe Biden's Department of Education.
Ryan Walters, congratulations, State Superintendent of Schools in Oklahoma. Really appreciate your fight. It's helping, I know, the people of Oklahoma, but it's inspiring so many of us. And again, to your point, hopefully it'll inspire other states to go ahead and go the route of electing their superintendents instead of having these entrenched union lovers just simply get appointed and get moved in. So it makes a difference, and it's making a difference in Oklahoma. Ryan Walters, congratulations, and really appreciate you joining me on the show today.
Appreciate you. Thank you for fighting for conservative principles, and I'm honored to be on. Thank you very much.
All right, my friend, that is Ryan Walters. Can you believe that? I mean, this is and only 11, I think he said 11 or 12 states. I'd have to computer it, but can you believe that only 11 or 12 states actually elect their superintendent, and it makes a gigantic difference and has in Oklahoma. And Ryan Walters, even among that group of elected superintendents, is still absolutely cream of the crop. But this is a way to regain control over the education of our children so that you don't have to worry about sending them to a public school anymore. Wouldn't that be great, considering that you actually pay for it already? And instead having to hide them in a private school away from the craziness of the public schools. That's what I've had to do. So, it's too bad that that's the case, but that is indeed the case. All right, folks, I will tell you, it's a beautiful day here at the Todd Starnes Show, and I'm Jamie Ullman, privileged to be filling in. Coming up, you know, these arrested protesters aren't going to spend probably a day in jail, even if they do ever get charged. But January 6th demonstrators, ooh, many of them are still there. Pro-life demonstrators? I'm going to tell you a story about one who's being wholly abused in our federal prison system. This is the Todd Starnes Show. I'm Jamie Ullman, honored to be filling in.
Ooh.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Todd Starnes Show, and I'm Jamie Allman, honored to be filling in, and congratulations to all of you down there in beautiful Houston, Texas, listening to Patriot Talk 920 AM. Oh, yeah, it was a launch party last night, and they had Todd all to themselves. Todd's on his way back to be with you tomorrow. Don't forget about Todd's book, Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? I believe it can, as long as you continue to listen to Todd Starnes and the Todd Starnes Show. Coming up, a very special guest with her ear to the ground on all the craziness on college campuses and beyond. Straight ahead. Hello, everybody. Hello, everybody. This is the Todd Starnes Show, and I am Jamie Allman, pleased and privileged to be filling in for him. And I want to tell you something really quickly about our friends at Patriot Mobile. You know, Americans have had enough of supporting companies that hate our values. You know that, right? Tired of compromise? Well, it's time to switch to Patriot Mobile, which is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. They're an example of putting the cause ahead of profits, and that's why I am really super proud to talk about them right now. And in fact, I have a guest on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. But before I get to that, they offer dependable nationwide coverage, giving you access to all three major networks, which means you get the same coverage you've been accustomed to without funding the left. So when you switch to Patriot Mobile, you support the First Amendment, the Second Amendment, the sanctity of life, and our military veterans and first responder heroes. So 100% U.S.-based customer service team, and you know how valuable that can be if you've ever made a call to any other company. And they don't keep your number, you know, and bother you and all that kind of thing. Just go to patriotmobile.com/Todd or call 972-PATRIOT. You're going to get free activation when you use the offer code Todd. That is Patriot Mobile, and the offer code is Todd. So enjoy that. And it just so happens on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line is a real rocker. She's great at what she does. She's the Washington Times online opinion editor and host of Bold and Blunt, the podcast, which, oh, it's bold and it's blunt. Cheryl Chumley, welcome to the Todd Starnes Show. How are you?
Hi, Jamie. I'm great. Thank you for having me.
I have to tell you, this is the feel-good video of the day. The pro-Israel demonstrators getting into the faces of the pro-Hamas ones there on U.S. UCLA's campus. It's the first time I've seen that happen, aside from, of course, those two young men. Those are fireworks, by the way. So it was the rocket's red glare there at UCLA, and they were carrying the American flag. That was really pleasing to see, although I have to tell you, I'm not quite sure we really want a civil war on these campuses, because that's not gonna go well. But it was nice to see people finally standing up to these people, the Hitler Youth.
Yeah, it's kind of one of those moments that, you know, inwardly you're happy to see, but then your logic takes over and you start thinking, well, as you point out, do we really want civil war in America over this issue? And the answer, of course, is no. But, you know, for far too long, it seems like our side has sort of quietly, done the quiet persuasion while the other side is out in the street throwing bricks through storefront windows, right? And no matter what, it's the conservative side of things that gets blamed for it. We're labeled violent, we're labeled oppressors, intolerant, bigoted, and so forth. And all along, it's the Democrats and their minions on the left that are actually the ones who are intolerant and violent. And, you know, I think even moderates in America are awakening when they see this anti-Semitism on college campuses. They're awakening to what, you know, 30, 40 years of Democrat control of the public school systems and the colleges in America have led to. And this is the natural consequence of all this leftist ideology in schools.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And I guess ultimately, how do you think this is going to play out? When you talk to your folks at the Washington Times, you talk to other people on your podcast and beyond, I mean, where does this end? Because it certainly There certainly there might be some accord reached in the Gaza Strip. There might be something happening at that level, but something tells me that's really not going to change anything as it relates to the college campuses. I'm sure summer might change a little bit, but then we have the Democratic National Convention coming, and so I don't see how this ends.
Well, when summer comes and college campuses shut down, then I think you'll see the disbursement of some of these protesters. But until that point in time, I don't see an end to it, right? Because it's not really about Israel in the end. It's actually been exploited now by the far leftist Marxists in this country. And it's been turned into an anti-America type of protest. The ultimate goal here is to capsize the Constitution, crumble America, and to bring this nation to the point where individual God-given rights are tossed to the side, and all we have is this sort of collectivist-type state. And so this Israel counter-assault, because that's what it is, remember, counter-assault on Hamas, gives these leftists, right, the chance to go out there and protest, and they can pretend that it's all about Israel, and they can pretend it's all about protecting the innocent Palestinian civilians and so forth, however you define that. But really, in the end, it's about generating chaos in America to destroy America from within.
I think you raise a point that really requires further investigation because, you know, when you look at the numbers of these young people out there, you're thinking there can't possibly be that many people who are that concerned about what's going on in Gaza. This all seems manufactured, right down to the fact that the tents are all brand new. It turns out that on some of the college campuses, these people who were doing the demonstrating are not students at all. As some of them are, obviously, and some of them are even faculty members, but it seems like this is a classic type of George Soros set up funding, just add gasoline operations.
And there have been some investigations into who's funding this, right? Because the green tents, all in uniform, all the same color, all the same exact tent, was sort of a giveaway, right? Like, all these students just happen to have the same green tent in their dorm room. It defies logic. So somebody's funding it, right? And, you know, when you look into some of the funders, of course there is a tie to George Soros. I think through his Tides Foundation, money has trickled into these protest groups. But there are other groups around the nation, the pro-Palestinian, the socialist, Democratic Socialists of America, and groups with other ideologies that are in line with that sort of Marxist type intent have all been funding these protesters. And, you know, just anecdotally speaking, if you listen to some of the videotaped interviews of these students when they're asked, what are you protesting? Why? Name the river to the sea. What river? What sea? They don't know anything, right? They're ignorant. So they're basically being used as tools for this larger agenda that I outlined, which is all about destroying America from within.
Yeah, I mean, destroying it, even if it means taking the Democrat Party with them. Talking to Cheryl Chumley, Washington Times online opinion editor and host of Bold and Blunt broadcast. But so what I'm asking, Cheryl, is it's odd that even if this is kind of a Soros-funded or left-wing-funded operation, it seems to be hurting the party that caters to the liberals the most, which doesn't seem to make any sense, but may actually make sense if you can break it down.
So the Democrat Party of today, right, as we all know, is not the Democrat Party of Bill Clinton years, of JFK years, right? It's gone through a massive change. You can pinpoint it pretty much under Barack Obama, but it is much more Marxist, right? Much more communist in agenda. And I think what many in the Democrat Party are seeing right now with these anti-Semitic protests on college campuses is a sort of awakening to that fact that their party has left them, their party has left them. So when you say that, you know, these protests aren't exactly helpful to the Democrat Party, I guess the answer to that would be, well, what Democrat Party? The Democrat Party that used to love America and basically have traditional values, same as the Republican Party, just a different way of achieving them, or the Democrat Party that has been corrupted by far-left anti-America interests? And I think the Democrat Party that's been corrupted by these far-left interests are seeing what's taking place on college campuses as something to cheer, as something to support, because it does advance their end game and achieve their ends, which, again, is to cripple and crumble America from within.
Yeah, I mean, and then you look on to the Democrat National Convention, and there's got to be some way. I mean, you know how the Democrat Party is. They've got to be plotting some kind of way to keep this from exploding into the convention there in Chicago a la 1968.
Yeah, that's going to be very interesting, right? And I think that they're going to try and just focus on things that drive voters' emotions, right? They're going to talk about abortion, for instance. I really think that that's going to be one of the key platforms, because it serves a purpose of getting people emotionally charged to vote Democrat. And when their emotions take over, they lose their ability to think clearly. And then things like what's going on college campuses with shows of anti-Semitism become secondary considerations, because then it becomes all about saving women's rights, meaning giving them the right to have, you know, unfettered access to abortion.
It's so crazy, just speaking of that very quickly, Cheryl Chumley, that now suddenly, because the Democrats love this, because the abortion issue is like honey to the bees, because you bring it up, you roll on it, and man, you can instantly get people mobbing to the polls, which is sometimes why I wish Republicans would really super start to focus on Roe versus Wade, back to the states, back to the states, back to the states, instead of talking about federalizing, because that's just one more thing that is going to galvanize Democrats, because they don't have anything else.
Yeah, first off, yes, Democrats don't have anything else, right? Look at their candidates. So I agree completely on that. And second off, you're right. I mean, that is really the issue here. It's a state's rights. If you're dealing with politicians who are supposed to stay in their lane of the political realm, not delve too much into the moral aspects of it, then the easy peasy political argument to make is states' rights, right? Just stick with that line. Stick with that line of thought. And I think that that would be the winning argument. Unfortunately, too many are sort of wishy-washy, and they move over into the morality, which is always a loser if you're a politician, right? Because you're gonna take off half the voters automatically. And if they just stuck with the constitutional aspect, which is actually what they're hired by taxpayers to do, I think that's the winning argument to make as well.
Yeah, all that work we did and President Trump did to overturn Roe versus Wade, and some of these guys are just wanting to go right back to it again. I'm like, well, you guys are, please, just be quiet, or at least when you do talk about states' rights and how important they are. Cheryl Chumley, congratulations on that podcast, which is great, by the way, Bold and Blunt. And so really appreciate you joining us here. Washington Times online opinion editor, Cheryl Chumley, it was great to talk to you.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Hey, you too. All right, coming up, the news media doing its darndest to try and write that whole narrative that this is all just a peaceful protest. But thank you, and thanks to the wonders of technology, like, you know, moving pictures, we can actually see that for ourselves. And the question of whether Palestine really does exist. Don't be fooled, people. I know that there are some people who say, well, Palestine does exist. It's like, I got an answer for you on the other side of this. This is the Todd Starn Show, and I'm Jamie Allman, really pleased and privileged to be filling in. If you want to chime in here on anything you've heard today, the number 901-260-5926. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Starn Show. Hello, everyone. This is the Todd Starnes Show. I am Jamie Allman, honored to be filling in for my buddy Todd, who is on his way back from beautiful Houston, where he was helping this wonderful station, Patriot Talk 920 AM in Houston, launch. And so it's off to the races, and Todd is off to the airport and on his way back. Don't forget about Todd's book, Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? And I think you know what Todd's answer is to all that. So I want to answer a question because a lot of people are afraid to say Palestine does not exist. That when you say free Palestine, you might as well be saying save the Keebler Elf land or whatever land that dude from Lucky Charms is wandering around and finding a bridge. And I will boldly say and confidently say it does not exist. And I'll explain it this way. Palestine is kind of like the transgender person of the world. You know, the person who says, I'm a man. I'm going to wear a coat. I'm going to wear a tie. I'm going to wear patent leather shoes. And I'm a man. When actually that person is a woman. Or conversely, a man says, I'm a woman. So I'm going to put on a dress and high heels and a wig and makeup, and you're going to call me ma'am. I'm like, whatever you say. It's really not that way. But so the people who actually claim that there is such a thing as Palestine are really actually being given a gift by the world. So Palestine is a de facto state. It's actually just kind of like a region that is named Palestine and is recognized by some 75% of the UN recognizes Palestine as a thing. It is a non-observer status with the UN. So it doesn't vote or anything like that. So it's kind of like when back in 2012, when they said, hi, we're Palestine. Everybody around the world is like, all right, whatever. You can be Palestine for a little. It's fine. And guess what? Our capital is Jerusalem. Like, no, that's Israel's. That's where the seat of government for Israel is. No, it's our capital. So just as an example, for instance, the Palestinian Authority and the Palestine people all claim Jerusalem as their capital. So that tells you everything you need to know about the fact that most of this kind of stuff is made up and most of it has just kind of been assumed. And look, we have our own flag. It's like, yeah, I know. The transgender people have their own flag, too. So that's the answer. So don't be afraid when you are feeling glib and a little wily to say Palestine doesn't exist and dare somebody to tell you that it does. And then you can conversely explain to them the reality of how it came about that there actually is such a thing as Palestine when there kind of is, because everybody says there is, and it's a region. It's really not a country. It's a state, but it's a de facto state. It's a member of the UN, but it can't vote. It has a flag, but it's really not a state. And it claims the capital city, that claims a city that belongs to somebody else as its capital. Now, obviously, there are debates being had about, well, whether Jerusalem really, because, of course, the Arabs believe it. Oh, that's really our town. And Israel's like, no, it's not. Well, yeah, it is. It's like, no, it's not. So that's the story about the so-called Palestine that everybody is jawboning about and claiming that actually there is such a thing, because there really isn't. And I guarantee you, you walk up to some of these protesters and ask them whether Palestine is a state, or even ask them what they claim Palestine's capital is, and they won't be able to tell you. I guarantee you, 99% of those Hitler Youth lunatics don't know anything about that whole region. They couldn't even find it on a map, I guarantee you. All right, one of my great friends, he's really good at what he does. You see him on Steve Bannon's War Room every once in a while. Jim Hoff, the Gateway Pundit. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
Live from the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
Texas, that's right, I love this American ride.
This is the Todd Starn Show, and I am Jamie Allman, privileged to be filling in for Todd Starnes, who is heading back from Houston and the launch of our beautiful new station down there, 9:20 a.m., the Patriot in Houston. So he's on his way back. We'll be back tomorrow. And meanwhile, I have another good friend. I'm coming to you from St. Louis, and so I have the esteemed privilege of having known this guy for a long, long time, who is doing some of the best reporting on what is happening in our country, politics, culture, and beyond, that I think anybody does on the internet. If you happen to go to thegatewaypundit.com, that's really should be your stop every single day. You guys aren't still going to the Drudge Report, are you? Anyway, thegatewaypundit.com, and you see Jim Hoft every once in a while on Steve Bannon's War Room. I'm actually on a regular basis there, and it really should be one of your go-to places, and I believe that Jimmy is going to be on with Todd on his Newsmax show eventually, so you'll be able to see him in the flesh there. But great reporting. The latest, of course, he has all the latest videos you're going to see from this this battle, this civil war there between the Hitler Youth and the good guys. Those are fireworks, by the way. Rockets, red glare. There were American flags. It was so nice to see an American flag being carried around on a college campus, to tell you the truth. The colors didn't match, seemingly, the rest of what we saw, which was really great. And they're perfectly fitting for our universities, is our red, white, and blue. Jim Hoff, the Gateway Pundit, welcome to the show. How you doing, my friend?
Hey, Jamie, good to be with you on the Todd Starn Show.
Yeah, no doubt, buddy. It's great to have you. So this situation at UCLA was really pretty remarkable. I think it's the first time we've seen. I mean, we have seen some smaller demonstrations, as you have pointed out at the Gateway Pundit, where we have seen firemen, policemen, even a couple of students at Columbia standing in front of the door and fighting back on the smaller scale. This was a pretty large scale fight back here on UCLA's campus. And the police weren't anywhere to be found, it seemed.
Yeah, this was a crazy scene at UCLA last night. And for the record, Jamie, we had reported a couple reports earlier in the week. One was that this young Jewish student was trying to cross campus at UCLA in the quad. And the protesters there refused to let him go through. So this is a student who's paying tuition who these radicals, young radicals, would not let him cross through their sacred protest space. So that happened on Sunday. On last night, we put up this post of this poor girl, a Jewish girl, was beaten down to the ground, reportedly knocked out. We saw her when she was being helped out of the area where the protests were going on. She went to the hospital. There's also a picture of her head where she got a nice gash, but she has was bleeding from the head after her assault against her at this protest. So it was already violent. It was getting more violent. And then last night, this was, like you said, quite a surprise to wake up this morning and see that a lot of people came and they were fighting back. This included, by the way, Jamie, Native Americans who brought signs that said this is Native land and we don't want Hamas here and the Jews are welcome here. And there was also wild fighting scenes that reportedly were going on for over an hour before the police stepped in at this Hamas encampment on campus. It was just insane. So it's actually a lot of people today. We're seeing this happen on different campuses, and they're actually standing up and fighting back and pushing back against this pro-Hamas Marxist crowd.
Yeah, it really is. It was kind of good to see. I mean, I don't want to see many civil wars popping up because then invariably somebody gets really hurt. But it is nice to see the Hitler Youth being reminded that they are reasonable people out here. This has got to be one of the worst themed movements I think we've seen in a long time. I think, as I said earlier, even Black Lives Matter is looking on going, wow, you people are bad people. Let me tell you, I mean, it's that bad. even when you go to the George Washington University campus and you've got a post here, this desecration of the George Washington statue with the anti-American graffiti, it's not only anti-Israel, it's anti-American. I think it says everything you need to see and know about this movement.
Absolutely. That was a disgrace. And that was, like you said, at George Washington campus, a university that was founded by George Washington. That was his dream. And here is this beautiful statue of our nation's founder, and it's being desecrated and vandalized by these America-hating Marxists with Palestinian flags, with, graffiti on the statue calling him a warmonger. I mean, it's disgusting. It's these people, like several people and commentators have been saying, it's not about the war in Palestine. It's about destroying the West. And it's hard to argue when you see this type of vandalism done in their name at their encampments.
I ran this by Cheryl Chumley earlier. She's the opinion editor, page editor at the Washington Times. And I was trying to figure out, like, well, if this is a left-funded operation and that a lot of these students are really not students, they're people who have been infiltrated, they're having their tents bought for them and food prepared for them and everything else. If this is really the left, why would they be doing something that looks like it most harms the left? It most harms the Democrat Party. It doesn't even touch us. All it does is reconfirm the righteousness of this country and our defense of Israel and beyond. But they're destroying something that normally has been kind of their little hive. And it seems odd to me that they would do that, where they would just bite the hand that feeds it, you know?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. It's very strange. This is left on left. And this is putting Jewish Americans in a really hard spot, because they have to decide, are they going to continue to support this party that now is openly, biased and does not want them around, or are they going to move maybe to the Republican Party? I have a friend, a good friend who you have actually know, a friend of mine, who says his family members, the young Jewish members of his family, they're all going Republican, and they will never go back to the left after what is happening here. And he also has a son on campus, on one of these campuses, and it's terrifying for these parents, as you could imagine. So, it's very strange. I agree with you. What is the benefit to the left by isolating a lot of Jewish voters and putting on this anti-American display on campuses? What is the benefit? It's hard to see. Who's, like you said, who's behind this, and what is the advantage for the left?
Yeah, on top of exposing the dirty little secrets there are at higher education, whether it be tenure, the left-wing faculty, or the actual establishments themselves. It's incredible the damage they're doing, and I'm not quite so sure that I mind it at this point, because it's just proving points we've tried to make for a long time. Moving on to the Biden regime, you've got a post up at thegatewaypundit.com. We're talking with Jim Hoft about Joe Biden wanting to finalize energy efficiency regulations on water heaters. Pretty much all of us have a water heater, and they're pretty much all made the same to a certain degree. And so now he's going to mess with our water heaters. What's going on with that?
Yeah, isn't it something? They don't have their fingers and hands into enough things, so now they're going after water heaters, something that every American has and most Americans forget about because they last for years. And they certainly did since, you know, I've been around 60 years now, and I can't even remember when I had to replace a water heater. They've been so efficient, but now they're going to, work so that every American, including poor Americans, will probably have to replace their water heaters within a certain amount of time, all for their global warming goals. It's just more insanity from the left, and I think Americans are getting tired of it. Just like when they got rid of the gas stoves. I mean, that's crazy. Nobody wants that, except the total upper echelon elites, so they can feel good about themselves. Nobody else wants that in the whole country.
Yeah, I mean, there's no question about it. I mean, and you remember, of course, I know President Trump, when he gets reelected, which I think he will, this will all go out the window, hopefully, just in time, and he'll be able to stave it off. But you remember when President Trump was mocked when he talked about, hey, I got to tell you, we don't have to flush the toilet like 10 times. And that's exactly the way people are living now with these regulatory impositions on shower heads, on toilets, and low flow this and all that other nonsense. It's making people miserable. And of course, there's always a way around it. I know there's a good hack out there on at least on shower heads. So, well, hopefully though, President Trump, when he gets in, will manage to erase most of this. And finally, Obama's back in the game, huh? So apparently. And whatever happened, by the way, to these, when the minute Trump took the oath of office, that whole idea of former presidents kind of keeping their mouth shut completely went out the window. It didn't matter whether it was George Bush, Obama, Jimmy Carter, or whatever. And now these guys are just totally unleashed. And so Obama gets into the game now, trashing Donald Trump, huh?
Yeah, this is no surprise. As you said, Barack Obama broke all the protocol while he was in office, including the fact that he was spying on Trump before and after he came into, you know, after he won the election. So, you know, is it a surprise that he's trashing Trump now? I understand that he's still well loved on the left, but I think a lot of the problems we have in America today. Is directly, you can go up and find that Barack Obama is somewhere at the top directing all these things, including the fact that Obama's now, there's this movement to get rid of Netanyahu. The people of Israel like him, but it's almost like they're running another color revolution in Israel to try to get rid of Netanyahu, Obama never liked, while there's a war going on with Hamas. So this is Obama legacy, and I for one, am just sick of it. I think he's done so much damage to this country, and I just wish he'd keep his mouth shut, especially the man who was caught spying on Trump doesn't have anything, no right to be bad-mouthing him at this point.
I love the fact that the podcast where he ran his mouth is hosted by a bunch of Hollywood types. I mean, come on, Justin Bateman and Sean Hayes and Will Arnett. It's like, you guys, Hollywood just won't ever stop affixing their lips to the rear ends of these Democrats whenever they have a chance. It's just so crazy. And by the way, just as a point here, you know, Obama must be mad because Trump in 2020 basically beat him at his own record. So Trump got about 74 million votes in the 2020 election, as you point out on Gateway Pundit. And Obama got 66 million votes, and that was probably with fraud. So, you know, that must be why Obama's so crabby about Donald Trump. Yeah. Well, Jimmy Hoft, we will see you on the War Room. I know you pop up there occasionally at thegatewaypundit.com as well, and I think that you might be setting up with Todd on his Newsmax show sometime this week. So really appreciate you joining the show, and always good to have you, and thank you for your patriotism and hard work, buddy. Appreciate you.
Thank you, Jamie.
All right. That is Jimmy Hoff, the Gateway Pundit, thegatewaypundit.com. Line one is Patty in North Carolina coming to us from WSIC. Hi, Patty. How are you doing?
Hey. Oh, first time ever talked to you. It's a pleasure.
Oh, pleasure mine.
Listen, I want to tell you something. I was telling Lydia, my daughter, just her and her girlfriend, her girlfriend was in the Bronx. They happened to just go over to Columbia, and the stuff my daughter found out, it would floor you. My daughter should be like an undercover reporter.
Yeah.
What she found out is that they were getting text messages, the kids, from professors. Yeah. And they were telling them to meet in a certain area. And there were two girls there, and they had no idea. My daughter, Lauren, was joking with them, saying, the river to the sea. What kind of river? The Mississippi River, the Ohio River.
Uh-huh.
My daughter was making fun of them. They had no idea.
Wow. The faculty members have been such a big part of this, and they kind of stay in the shadows, but they seem to be puppet masters to a large degree. Some of them have actually been suspended, but not enough of them. And, you know, they're leading chants and they're leading speeches and rallies and things like that. And that's just not tolerable.
My daughter also told me, I'm going to tell you another thing. My daughter said, there's grown men there. There's Chinese men there. Huh. What came over the border?
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. Yep. It's all about destruction.
Trouble here.
Yeah, I believe so. Patty, thank you for calling into the show and hang in there. And I know you're raising some great kids, so I appreciate that as well. This is the Todd Starn Show, and I'm Jamie Allman, privileged to fill in. We'll be right back. Coming up, you know there are lots of arrests on these campuses, but is there really actually going to be any punishment? Well, believe me, it won't be likened to the punishment given to our January 6th friends. Our demonstrators there, or pro-life demonstrators for that matter. In fact, I don't wish this kind of evil on anybody for that matter. And I'll bring you the story of one pro-lifer who has been actually not only jailed for 22 days, but also abused in jail by the feds. I'll follow up on that coming up. Hey guys, Mike Lindell has a passion to help you get the best sleep of your life, you know, and he invented the world's best pillow. And then created the famous Giza Dream Sheets. They're the best sheets you're going to ever sleep on. So for a limited time, you're going to get a queen-size set for $59.98. King-size for just $69.98. These are the lowest prices in the history of Mike. Mike and the MyPillow continue to be canceled by big box stores, attacked by the media. Bed Bath & Beyond has gone beyond, thanks to its battle with Mike, but he's still here. And MyPillow appreciates all of your great support during these times. And they want to thank you by giving you free shipping on your entire order today. So here's how you do it. To get these specials, go to MyPillow.com or call 1-800-839-8506. 1-800-839-8506. Use the promo code STARNS and you get the famous Giza Dream Sheets. Queen size for $59.98, king size for just $69.98. You're also going to get 60% off the original My Slippers. Those are all the rage, too. So call 800-839-8506 or go to MyPillow.com, promo code STARNS for free shipping today. Yep, topsy-turvy justice indeed, especially when it comes to certain people of certain flavors of certain philosophies. I'll follow up on that on the other side here. This is the Todd Starn Show, and I'm Jamie Allman, privileged to be filling in for my friend. Hello, everyone. This is the Todd Starn Show, and I am Jamie Allman, really happy to be filling in for Todd, who is on his way back from the official launch party for Patriot Talk, 9:20 a.m. And congratulations, guys. And I know you're listening now, and Todd will be back because you had them all to yourselves last night in beautiful Houston at Houston Christian University. So Todd's on his way back, and you all will are not going to be left behind by good old Todd. Hey, by the way, Twilight's Last Gleaming, which is Todd's new book, is out going gangbusters. It's a wonderful tome. And the question is, can America be saved? I do believe it can be. And so does Todd. It's just a matter of knowing how to do it. When you look at everything going on around us and you see what's happening on the college campuses, you see the inequity and the lies being told to our students as it relates to critical race theory and other nonsense. You see the injustice happening to Donald J. Trump and these scurrilous hoaxes, these indictments that have been perpetrated against him. And when you see what's happening with our border and you see what's happening with our homeless veterans, while we're just allowing all these people to come in and spending all kinds of money on them, we're leaving our homeless veterans behind. The Congress raiding the Treasury to help this corrupt dude, Zelensky. And you think, wow, there's no hope for anything out here. But there is, because everything that happens, and this is a hard way to do it. It's a hard way to win. But everything that is going on, in my opinion, around us that we see as clearly negative and bothersome is only becoming a galvanizing point for a lot of us. And in fact, it's drawing in people who otherwise might not have voted for Donald Trump before. And might, we're, maybe we're not considering voting for him. We're not considering what it means to be a common sense conservative. They were just kind of happy in their own place. Well, guess what? Lots of these things happening, including the border, are seeping in to places like Chicago. So you've got a lot of black voters who are saying, you know what? Democrats hate us. We're second-class citizens again after all this. They're using our rec centers they built to keep us all quiet for now shelters and places for illegals. You know how it's going. So everything that's happening is just turning people towards righteousness, and I think that's going to be a good thing eventually. Here's another example. We saw these arrests on the college campuses. In my opinion, I don't want to be cynical about it, but nothing's going to happen to these people. They're in, they're out with their signature bonds. Nothing's really going to be followed through on. All of the suspensions, all that stuff to me is window dressing. I'll have to wait and see whether or not this is really going to happen, which is sad because, you know, that's not how people who are pro-lifers are treated when they are arrested. It's not how people who are fighting for their civil voting rights are treated when they are arrested. These January 6 prisoners still in the gulag in D.C. without trial. This is a great example of the brutal treatment of a pro-lifer. Her name is Heather Idoni, and she's been kept in solitary confinement for 22 days. The lights of her cell kept on 24 hours a day. This story comes to us from LifeSite News, and there are a number of pro-life demonstrators arrested in a variety of different venues who aren't getting quick justice at all, and in many cases are not only jailed continuously, but mistreated as well.
There is unbelievable news breaking at LifeSiteNews.com. We have exclusive news that the Biden DOJ, the Department of Justice, is torturing pro-lifers in prison. We have evidence of incarceration for over 15 days with all the lights on, which is defined by the UN as torture. And also, we have the refusal of medical treatment for a needed hip replacement.
If you could imagine, by the way, that a person could go on a campus and call for the extermination of Jews and be out on her own recognizance within 12 hours. And yet a person who is demonstrating on behalf of unborn babies remains in jail, in this case, Heather Idoni, for 22 days.
It's unbelievable what's going on, and it is political. The reporter on this is LifeSite's D.C. correspondent, Louis Konofsky. Louis, welcome to the program.
Thank you, John Henry.
Now, you're breaking an unbelievable story here. How did you get access to this information?
And by the way, how is it that the mainstream media doesn't even touch any of this? I know you guys are like, Allman, what do you think the answer is? I get it. But man, that's when you know that a fabric of society and a element of institutional journalism has fallen by the wayside. When you actually can see fellow citizens treated differently on the basis of their philosophical beliefs and their political beliefs. And there's no such thing as an atrocity or an injustice unless it happens to somebody you happen to like or agree with. And when the powers that be in the news media, the mainstream media, start believing that way and operating that way, it's no wonder that you can have individuals demonstrating on January 6th and still in prison, being mistreated, not having even their trials yet, and yet nobody seems to care about them with the exception of a few people. Certainly even most members of Congress aren't paying attention to this, which is really pretty crazy, because we all know if this were somebody else of some other different flavor, of some other different political proclivity, it wouldn't be happening to them. They'd be out and running around right now.
I have direct contact with all the pro-lifers who have been in prison, and I've kept up correspondence since their sentencing, or sorry, since their convicting in the fall as we await sentencing. And I also know others who have been in contact with them over these last few months, including relatives of the prisoners. So what I'm about to offer you is about as direct from these prisoners as possible, given their circumstances. And we do have testimony from them.
So if you look at what Heather Idoni did, I'm sure many of you are asking, I'm sorry, I haven't gotten to that quite yet. So she's a defendant in D.C. And so once you get into that system, that is a gulag system indeed. So there's a Freedom to Access Clinic Entrances Act. And Heather Idoni blocked the entrance to a clinic. Now, you can talk about the laws. I get it. There are trespassing laws, just like there are laws against blocking access to an abortion clinic. The law is the law. Whatever you think about it, that's the fact. She broke the law. But is the punishment fitting the crime? I'm not saying that she ought to be free just because she protects the unborn. What I'm saying is, the fact of the matter is, this is a travesty of justice by any stretch of the imagination, and clearly her punishment is not meeting her crime. So 22 days of solitary confinement, and she received that because she was sharing food with other prisoners. She alleged that she was allowed to walk outside her cell only for 2 hours in the middle of the night each day. Lights on her cell continually kept on, and she was convicted last autumn. So when she appeared in her initial court appearance, and she was representing herself, by the way, because she couldn't afford an attorney, she the judge had her in shackles on both wrists. And she said, well, how can I defend myself, represent myself, which you should be able to do, by the way. How can I represent myself if I've got handcuffs on? But the bars around her waist and feet stayed. So here she is representing herself, and the bars around her waist and feet stayed there, and she was unhandcuffed. This is outrageous, and that was for the initial crime of blocking an entrance to an abortion clinic. I mean, there aren't murderers who are tied up and shackled up like that. But when you have a system like this, and you have a justice system like this that is so unequal, all right, we're told up until now only blacks could suffer unequal justice, right? You know, the Black Lives Matter nonsense. But then when it comes to certain people clearly having their rights violated, we do nothing. And the news media does nothing. And we see it out there on the college campuses where you can go on a college campus and block a Jewish student from coming in from the 1930s. And actually, it's manifested in a larger site, and that is where we see President Trump, even with the gag order. It's like he's the only one with the gag order. Nobody else involved in the trial has to keep their mouth shut. He's the only one. That's completely and totally injustice, if you ask me. And I don't think it's really hard to figure that one out. But that is beyond the pale, and that's just wrong. And again, I can complain about it, right? And I can tell you about it and do all that kind of thing, and maybe you'd get downtrodden and think, oh, shoot, you know, I don't know whether there's any hope at all. But the reality is I do believe there is. I do believe that these moments that we're watching, where we are actually saying to ourselves, you know, this is terrible, is actually being viewed by other people as well. And not everybody can watch this LifeSite news story, but I'm telling you about it. You can tell other people about it, and eventually it trickles in. We don't have to depend on CBS, NBC, ABC, and CNN for our news. This is the Todd Starnes Show, and I'm Jamie Allman, hugely happy to be filling in. This is the Todd Starnes Show. Jamie Allman, honored to be filling in for Todd today. Hope all of you are well. You want to call into the show? For the last couple minutes here, 901-260-5926, 901-260-5926. All right, so in California, this is a well-known thing, that there are homeless veterans that are being dispatched from certain shelters and certain places in favor of illegal aliens. Same thing happening in New York. Shelters, gymnasiums, rec centers, all those things are actually being occupied by illegal aliens being warehoused while homeless veterans are living in boxes on the street. And it's something that clearly has been intolerable almost everywhere, as we're really seeing the prioritization of certain Americans. Blacks in Chicago finding out the Democratic Party once again really doesn't like them, respect them, appreciate them only as a voting bloc, because when it comes right down to it and they've got to make a choice to either help their little plush toys coming across the border or help Americans who've been here their whole lives and they're black, they choose the plush toys. Same thing's happening all around now. In Massachusetts, for instance, even they're noticing, hey, there's a little bit of an inequity here, as we have a bunch of veterans who are basically losing their place in society. Again, it's true that we have forgotten many of our homeless veterans, and they've just kind of been sitting there. And it hasn't actually been until the influx of illegals that we're seeing that there's actually no priority at all for many of our homeless veterans. So check this out. In Massachusetts, there was a bill aimed at prioritizing U.S. military veterans for shelter assistance over illegal immigrants. The bill was known as Homeless Veterans Prioritization for Shelter Assistance. It was rejected by a vote of 27-129. The majority of Democrats opposed the bill. All 25 House Republicans, along with two Democrats, supported the bill. You see that, all 25 House Republicans, meaning there weren't a whole lot of House Republicans there in the state of Massachusetts. And it was really an amendment, and it was intended to give homeless veterans preferential access to the state's emergency housing assistance program. It seems pretty simple to me. If you're going to have an emergency housing assistance program, you would think that Americans would be the ones who would receive the emergency housing assistance before someone who was not an American. But that wasn't the case. So the bill went down in flames. They had a hearing on it, and you're not going to believe what one of the Democrats said when the other Democrat actually said, hey, why are we going to do this? What's the excuse for putting illegal aliens ahead of homeless veterans? And this was a Democrat asking another Democrat the question. And if you can believe this, the other Democrat decided that she was going to, this is Alice Pesich, and she said, well, this is the reason why we're doing
it. What about the military folks that are getting out of the military and they have to go through all the lines to start all over again, even though they have credentials. So my question, pretty simple, why would we fast track them and we won't do it for our military?
They have the advantage of speaking the language, most of our military folks. So these folks that we're really working on may not have that. So it's going to be really difficult for them to say, yes, I used to be an electrician in my country. I'm just using mine, which is Somalia. But that might not really fall into our laws that we have in this country.
Did you hear that? She, of course, is a Somali immigrant. Legal, but this is the kind, you know, when President Trump talked about the poisoning of the water. This is exactly what he was talking about. And he said that several months ago. He's always right. We always have some example of some, you know, hey, that mail-in voting thing really, no, shut up. And it turns out it absolutely cost him the election. And so in this case, she's saying, well, we prioritize the illegal aliens because they can't speak English. And the homeless veterans can. It's really unbelievable. But I don't think unsurmountable. I think there's still hope for this country. I think if we just stick together, keep the common sense flowing, and it'll all work out fine. Swimmingly, I believe. I'm Jamie Allman. Really happy to have filled in for Todd Starnes on the Todd Starnes Show. It's great to be with all of you. Grace, Dylan, Lydia, thank you for your support. Appreciate you guys. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your week.